Thank you for joining us today. Our prayer is that your life will be touched by the Spirit of Almighty God with constant and powerful truths that can be applied to your everyday life. Let's join Pastor Ashley Ellison now.
Continue on with our series on tests, and tonight is the motivation test. You could also call it the passion test, because in all of life, God will reveal character through tests. He will reveal who you really are, what you really know. All about you will be revealed through the test that you face every day. And I'm telling you, in January, when Alvin made the call or made the invitation to Miranda to go to Honduras, I saw her go first in her eyes. You know, you can read people by body language. She is easy to read because her face is very expressive and she don't have to speak anything when you get to know her. And her words that weren't spoken but were spoken very loudly when he invited her to Honduras were, "Are you serious?" You could read that all over her face. And he goes, "Of course." You know what I mean? His words to the non-words were, "I'm serious. I would like for you to go down there." And I just saw right then a real illustration of this test. I started speaking because she wasn't talking, and I just tend to do that when nobody else is. It's one of the things that can get me in trouble. But while she wasn't saying anything, I just started saying, after reading her face that she was interested, I started saying, "You know, you've been training for the last 2 years here, not knowing what God's call was on your life. And I'm not saying this is it. But what I am saying is you ought to consider this. Because this is something that could use what you've been training to do for His glory." And I watched her absorb that and say, "Okay, I'm going to do this over the next few days." And when she committed to that, I watched her walk in that, and everything that could come out that would motivate her apart from that, she rejected. She just said, "No, this is my motivation, is the call of God upon my life." And I thought, that's exactly what I'm talking about tonight. With this test, the motivation test, we live in such a day and age where we all have opportunities come in front of us that would motivate us in a particular direction. But she had spent 2 years training for God to open a door for her, and the door was open, and she saw that and said, "That's what I've been motivated to do for 3 years. I just didn't know specifically what it was, but when God showed her, all of her motivation was right towards that, so her answer was easy. I want you to see that, because if you'll continue to put your heart on the things of God, you'll work in the areas that God, when a door opens, you don't have a lot of, "I wonder what I'm supposed to do here." See, just all of a sudden, that's the completion of the motivation test. I passed. I'm doing what God called me to do. And so the question tonight I want to ask you is, why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? What motivates you? I'm just telling you, had that door opened for her the first week she was here at Leaders Academy, she'd have slammed it closed and said, "No, I'm not even remotely interested." But because she had spent 2 years putting her motivation in the right area, when God said, "Here you go," she goes, "I'm ready." What I want you to do is to understand that tonight, why you're here is because you're working on putting your motivation in the right area, your passion in the right area. Basically, the motivation test can be summed up with two areas: yourself or God. Flesh, spirit. I mean, you can really just, what is motivating you? Are the things of God motivating you? Is He motivating you? Is your relationship with Him motivating you? Are the things of God out of His Word motivating you? Or is it what? you got to recognize that things in life will motivate us, and a lot of times they have nothing to do with the things of God. And so tonight I want you to reveal those areas. I'll talk about some of mine, but mine may not be yours. And I want you to be careful that you're not motivated to where 2 years later a door's open and you have to close it because you were motivated in the wrong direction. Now, praise God, you've been motivated to be here, be a part of what God has for you in this church, but I'm talking about in your own life. The test reveals things about you. There are daily things that grab our attention, and I want you to understand that this test really reveals character, and it shows what is in you. We got to be careful about what we're motivated by. Come on. We got to be careful what motivates us. Because motivation will take you somewhere. What you are motivated by will take you somewhere. Now, obviously, we know we need to be motivated by the Lord. That's one of the reasons why we encourage people to be in your word every day. That way, you start out with the correct motivation on your day. I know that there are days that I haven't started out in the word. And everybody here can say that. And before long, someone says, how's your day going? Next thing, oh my goodness, it's been horrible. Everything, if it could have gone wrong, it did. I mean, I've seen that. I have experienced that. And I want you to know the motivation test occurs when Christians are exposed to inner inside of you or outer forces that begin to influence your decision-making process. Now grasp that, because that's really important. The motivation test can be over a time, and it occurs when Christian people, I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about people who surrendered their heart and life to Jesus, that they're exposed to something that's inside of you. Maybe it's from your past, maybe it's from your childhood, maybe it's from experiences, whatever, but something inside of you starts being influenced, starts getting some attention on something inside of you. You got my attention here. So when you start talking about certain things, I know that things in my past will come into my mind. When people will start talking, have you ever done, someone starts talking and you got 100 thoughts going in your head because your past, that's inside. And so something's motivating you to that conversation. And then there is also outer forces that begin to influence your decision-making processes. Peanut butter. An outer source that fires up something inside of me. I'm going to get off of peanut. That's the only time I'm going to miss that time. The motivation test will reveal the inner intentions, the thoughts, the values, the priorities that will cause you to make the decision that you make. In the motivation test, we discover whether we do something for our good or for the glory of God. There is sometimes a difference. The motivation, it reveals if you're going to do something to benefit yourself or to benefit the Lord, for the glory of Him. In the motivation test, we discover a lot of different things. It exposes the unrighteous drives that are hidden deep within our heart. Come on, we've all got drives that the devil knows about and the enemy knows about and our flesh itself knows about. We give the devil a lot of credit. Sometimes it's just our inner flesh that's motivating us into an unrighteous thought process because of things that are hidden deep within us. Lucifer. I will use that name, not Satan. I will say Lucifer fell because he wanted the throne of God. He wanted the throne of God so where everyone would worship him. Jealousy, whatever it was, he wanted that. So he was using, come on now, hear me. He was using the things of God to bring himself glory. You'll see that in Christianity a lot. Like I started with tonight, I'm not talking about the world, I'm talking about Christianity. And you will find in Christianity people using the church for their own gain, not the glory of God. And that is something that we all have to be very careful about. Not using the church for your own personal gain, but going to church to benefit the kingdom of God. Pharisees loved the praises of men more than the praises of God. And I want you to understand, we can't be that. We got to watch our motivation. We can do the right thing for the wrong reasons. Come on, that's a good one. That deserved an amen, and I didn't get it. You can do the right thing for the wrong reasons. And we'll do that periodically in our life because we see the gain in and of ourselves. Paul said there were those who preached the gospel out of envy and out of rivalry. They preached the gospel out of envy and rivalry. He goes on to say they're preaching out of a selfish ambition. Their aim was to stir up trouble for Paul. There are churches that like to stir up trouble for other churches. What are you talking about? We are all supposed to be in this thing together. And I want you to understand tonight, don't be putting down another church, another mission. We may not be doing it, but that doesn't mean they're wrong in what they're doing. It's just all different areas that God is using to further his kingdom. Can you imagine out of envy and out of rivalry, someone preaching the gospel? It's hard to hear that from a preacher preaching the gospel because they're envious or they're causing frustration because they're not where so-and-so is. They're doing it out of rivalry. Why do wrong motives occur? Why do they occur? Ask yourself that question. A person puts their own needs first rather than the purposes of God. And we have all been guilty of that. Turn to John chapter 3, verse 23. Great illustration from John the Baptist as he was baptizing. It says in verse 23, John the Baptist was baptizing. Verse 24, this was before John was thrown into prison. John 3, verse 24, before John was thrown into prison. Verse 25, a debate broke out between John's disciples and a certain Jew over ceremonial cleansing. So John's disciples came to him and said, Rabbi, the man you met on the other side of the Jordan River, the one you identified as the Messiah, is also baptizing people, and everybody is going to him instead of coming to us. Are you hearing a little bit of rivalry? John replied, verse 27, no one can receive anything unless God gives it from heaven. You yourselves know how plainly I told you, I am not the Messiah. I am only here to prepare the way for him. Let me say, that ought to be all of our hearts. We are not the Messiah. We are here to prepare a way for him to do a work in the hearts and lives of people. That's what John said. I'm not him. I'm just here to prepare the way for him. It is the bridegroom who marries the bride, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad, which he's talking about himself here, and the bridegroom's friend is simply glad to stand with him and hear his vows, hear his preaching, hear his teaching, hear what he proclaims. Therefore, he says, I am filled with joy at his success. You know, when you hear of somebody else doing something profound for the kingdom of God, you need to get excited about their success in the things of God, because ultimately it's the success of Jesus. And we need to get excited about when we see something like that. Don't go, well, our church is. Well, we're not doing, no, here's what we're doing. Get excited about the success of the things of God. I want to be filled with joy at the success of somebody else telling me what happened. I got an email today of a big outpouring of the things of God that was happening in Kansas City. Over 200 people went up and did some witnessing up in that area. And I don't know they don't have all the results yet of what had happened, but they came in the email was, Ashley, thanks. Thanks for praying. They were just sending me a message. God is moving and doing great. Well, you know what I did? Woohoo! I'm not like, well, we weren't a part of that. I can't believe they didn't ask us, and I'm just offended. But I'm just, that's the heart of so many Christian people. When you hear the success of what's going on, come on, let's, woo! Let's get excited about, let's be filled with joy at the success of Christ, wherever it's at. And then verse 30, John said, he must become greater and greater, and I must become less and less. Greater, you want to get stronger and stronger, you become less and less. And let him become greater. We got to quit making things about us, and it happens when we're in the middle of the motivation test and we're failing. A person who puts their own needs first rather than the needs of other people, you can know real quick you're kind of already heading in a direction that's going to get you in trouble. Person who desires to be the center of attention at the expense of those around them. You have to add that extra part because a lot of us like to be the center of attention, right? For whatever reason, it's just in our personality in some of us. If we're in a room, some of us are just like, I don't know. I mean, Melanie might understand what I'm talking about here. We're gonna be talking, and we talk loud, and we don't even realize we're talking loud. Melanie and I have this famous phrase we use. I'm bringing it down. I don't know why some of us are like that. But we just kind of jump. But know this: it's all right if your center of attention isn't you; it's the Lord Jesus. So whatever you're doing, it can't be at the expense of everyone else and to elevate yourself. People not passing the motivation test have self-ambition of acquiring influence, power, and wealth. They have dreams that they want to be known. They want to be seen. They want to be admired by many. That's a lot of what happens. And that goes with any personality trait. It's the idea that I want to be elevated. And what I want to make sure we understand in church, a lot of times we own an area so specifically that we can never, ever let anybody else come up to where we're at. How are you ever going to lead anybody? If you're always pushing them down, then they're not going to be elevated. Our worship team are training up the next. Our ushers are training up the next. Everybody's working on elevating someone else, decreasing themselves so that the Lord can be magnified in other people. That's a hard one, I'll admit. It's a hard one, but we've got to get a hold of this so that we can make a difference in the kingdom of God. Problems with improper motivations are rampant. Here's some of them. Manipulation of people for own advantage. The mistreatment of people for their own advantage. Stealing glory that belongs to God. That's why I teach our young people all the time, when someone compliments you, work hard on saying, praise God, and then thank you. I think that's a great tool. Put it on, it's God's glory that I'm pointing to first. But don't do it out of a self-righteous mindset. Well, praise God, I just did that because that's what Pastor told me I had to do. But thank you, I know I did good. So we got to watch our attitude. Don't steal the glory that belongs to God. Praise God. Thank you. I appreciate that. So there's a different attitude in that than how you can portray it. Sometimes we steal the glory that belongs to others. We won't lift anybody else up because we got to be the center. We are selfish in our heart. We're self-promoting in our spirit. We limit our willingness to serve or sacrifice in areas unless we see it as an area that will provide advantage for us. People are willing to give in a lot of ways as long as they totally believe that God's going to give them more back. And I know that you've heard it said, you can't outgive God. Well, the reason we say that is why? Because we're trying to motivate them to think you're going to get more by your giving. But really, if you get to the heart of that, you want to be careful because it can't be that I give so that I can get. But a lot of times that's the thinking that immaturity breeds. And that's why on Wednesday night we're talking about, let's make sure our motivator's correct. Let's make sure we're headed the right direction. People can be willing to serve as long as people notice them and give them ample praise. I have heard and I have experienced this in my short life many times, people saying, nobody appreciates me. I never hear anybody say good job. Nobody ever. Your motivator's wrong. Come on, I just would just like every once in a while, good job. Your motivator's wrong. Well, I don't know how else to say that. If you're willing to serve as long as people notice you and give you ample praise, then you've got the wrong motivation. And we have to understand that I'm not making this stuff up. We become less and less so that he can become more and more. People are willing to worship as long as they find fulfillment and blessing in the act. I want to really clue in on some things, because sacrifice, as long as you're getting the advantage in the sacrifice, isn't sacrifice. There's no sacrifice in something that you see is going to actually in the end benefit you more. We've got to get our heart motivated towards the Lord. And I want to get to that, because I think the biggest motivator when you're looking at people, what motivates them is really what they're the most passionate about. What are you the most passionate about? And it's easily seen, but I've done a lot on passion the last few months, and it just really related my mind over to motivation. We've got to be passionate about the Lord and his business. That's easy to say, but I'm trying to make this a 20-minute sermon. No. So I want to make sure that we understand that you got to get the whole phrase that I just said. We need to be passionate about the Lord and his business. Well, how do you do that? What do you do? You have to understand what passion is. Passion is a strong feeling. I don't like feelings all the time. I don't like living on feelings. That's the way I should say that. But feelings are real. And passion is a strong feeling of enthusiasm or excitement about what you are doing or what you are going to do. That's what passion is. It's a strong feeling, a strong enthusiasm. Can't wait to do this or what I'm going to do or what I'm doing. Let me just spend some time talking about me. And it's not what I like to talk about, because this is not fun in a lot of ways, but there was a time where my passions were out of order. And I think if we were to ask a raise of hands, we'd have a lot of people say, yeah, I identify with that. My passions, and I had a bunch of them, but let's just talk about three, because I don't want to get into all of my problems. I had some hobbies, and they went in this order: hunting, golf, and going to the lake. Because that was what, I mean, that's just kind of where it was. And for a season, I had to walk away. I had to say, okay, I can't do this. And my motivating factor in a lot of ways was I wanted to stay married. But she wasn't the one putting that on me. It was me saying, I've got to make a change. I've got to adjust where I'm pouring my passion was there though. That was my motivation. And then I thought, oh, I want to stay married, so maybe I ought to motivate myself a little different. But that still wasn't enough. Because when I tried to not do that and then do this for my marriage, it wasn't a strong enough motivator, because I was still drawn. See, the things of God is what, until I got motivated on the Lord Jesus, then whatever I tried to find to motivate me didn't work to get me the life that I felt like I could have peace and joy and contentment in. And so I gave up golf. I gave up going to the lake. And we didn't do that. And I mean, for a season, I had to say, okay, I'm not going to do this. I took my number one hobby and I thought, all right, I want to keep hunting. But I knew that I couldn't keep hunting unless I could find a way to allow God in. Now hear me, my motivation was still wrong. Because I thought, if I can just let God in, then I can still get to do this. So if I can just, but then when I'd be pouring my heart out to God, I'd be like, God, I know that I've got a stream, an avenue, and a way where I can lead people to your throne through this. And so I was fighting in my mind all the time back and forth of whether I could do this and still have my motivation correct. And there was a season of time that I had to go back and forth and back and forth with. I wanted to hunt. So I came up with another ministry and opened a business called Hunting His Way. And I thought, that's what, I'm going to do this, and I'm going to do videos, and I'm going to do everything. Well, videos allow me to be on TV, allow me to hunt with a lot of professional people, allow me to get a free bow every year. There was a lot of whatever stands I wanted. God, this is awesome. And then I found myself, oh, wait. Is this really my motivation for God, or am I motivating Ashley here? I don't know if you can relate. Again, I don't want to just talk about me and you leave this sermon going, well, I learned a lot about Pastor tonight. I want you to take this into your area. I do believe that it's important that you bring God into your hobby, into whatever you're doing. I believe that. But make sure you're not doing it to go ahead and elevate yourself. And that, I'm just telling you, takes some work and some time for you spending on your knees and saying, okay, God, I'm willing to give all this up, but I'm not going to do this. And I would find an area every time, and it took some time. If I was going to do Hunting His Way, then I needed to do it His way, not Ashley's way. See, I came up with a name. This is a great idea because I don't want it to be about me. My heart was right, but then the more I started getting it into it, it became more about me. Whatever you're doing that motivates you in the flesh, you better watch it, because it can motivate you away from the things of God. And I use that because in the end now, there are times that I say no to something that I know used to be an overflowing passion of mine. And I can't do that. I mean, I've been called and asked to go on hunt after hunt in other countries. And I have, I mean, before I've been like, mortgage the house, let's go. No, I can't do that. That's going to be all about me. I've got to find a way to where it's not about me. And I've had to say no, and then I have to go and go, oh, that hurt. I'm just telling you, the things of God are not always easy. And dying to yourself is tough, but it's got to be done. Improper motives will cause us to compromise values that were meant to guide us. See, improper motives cause us to be separated from God's presence and His favor. Improper motives cause us to miss what could have been. One of my favorite lines is, if you don't pass the motive test, is this: what could be, what should be, won't be. If your motives are wrong, what could be, what should be, won't be. If you don't got your passion and motivation in the right place, improper motives will cause us to be doomed to successes that would have counted for eternity. I'm talking about counted for eternity. Maybe not for you, but for someone else. Don't miss the opportunity to bless someone, to die to yourself, that could have opened the door for you to share the gospel and see them saved. There's just a lot of areas that you got to watch. It's one thing, a lot of little phrases here that kind of has came to my mind in this. It's one thing to believe in Jesus, but another thing to follow Jesus. See, there's a lot of people believe in Jesus, but you can look at their lives and they're not motivated by Him. They believe in Him, but they're not following Him. It's one thing to talk about what He can do for us, but another thing to talk about what He requires from us. What He can do for us, or what He requires from us. Come on, this is getting deeper when we get into understanding the motivation test. We have to count the cost in order to truly follow Him. Our passion for Him has to outweigh anything else. I was sharing with some men this last month some areas that the Lord, as I was doing one of my morning devotions, that the Lord brought to my attention. And I just thought, I'm going to say these in generic form so that you can apply whatever it is to your area. But if you're going to have your passion for God outweigh everything else, is that happening in your own personal desires, in your own wants? Come on, we all have wants, don't we? Are our wants lining up with God's wants? This is in the test. You might be facing this right now in your life. So allow the Lord, because I don't know, but allow the Lord, allow the Holy Spirit to reveal as I'm talking about these areas. What about your hobbies? Are they outweighing the things of God? Our selfish nature that desires to be right in every circumstance. How you doing with that one? That I always got to be right attitude. I'm glad nobody's poking anyone or jabbing, but I always got to be right, whatever the circumstance. I can't be wrong. Moving on. The want to do things our own way. Everyone knows someone that does this, and you might be that everyone. You might be the one. Everyone knows this, though. There's several ways to get something done, but this person thinks there's only one way. Come on, there's 100 ways to get to Springfield, but not for this person. There's only one. There's all of these. What are you going that way for? Because I thought we were going to town. Well, that's not the way I'd have went. Here, let me have that. You're not doing it right. That's the person I'm talking about. You got to watch that doesn't get in the way of it becoming all about you and you're elevating yourself in that area. Now, I understand your way's always right, but how about creating your schedule? Our schedule must be his schedule. There was a season and a time where Michelle and I were really having to weigh where we were going and what we were doing with our schedule, with our time. You know, we had all these thoughts. Well, we can't do this with our kids. They're involved with this, this, and this, and we're going to homeschool now. And I mean, the call of God on our life as we knew it, well, you're going to stay at home? How are we going to make it financially? We just can't. She's like, yeah, we can. We can live in a tent if we have to, but we can. No, we can't. I can't live in a tent. We had to be submitted to the Lord and the call that the Lord had upon our lives and get on the same page so that we could raise our girls on the same page. If in your marriage you're having trouble in that area, there's a motivation test going on for you right now. What's your motivator? I didn't want to give up all the things that I thought I had to have. And my schedule was going to define what my passion was. But when I said, okay, I don't have to go there. I don't have to do that. Africa would be nice for a trip, but no, I understand. There's a lot of animals you can kill over there, but it's not. Then our favorite term became, it's not our season. You've probably heard one of us say that. It's not our season right now. And I tend to tell that to the young people in their 20s when they hear something that somebody else is doing. Hey, it's not your season. But I want it to be. They don't say that, but their face does. I want it to be my season. I understand that. But right now, your schedule has to be his schedule. And it always does. See, you got to pass that test. How we treat and respond to others will reveal much about your motivation. Are you thinking before you respond of what they're going to see in you? Or are you thinking about what you're going to be elevated by what you say? I want to elevate me means this response. I want to elevate the Lord means be calm and cool. See, in line at Walmart, I have a lot to say. But it would only elevate me or my own but everybody there, I'm a representative of Jesus, and I want to represent, I want to represent him to them correctly. And I got to be careful that what comes out of my mouth. So I've got to stop and think and wait, what's my motivation here? Is this so I can get through the line quicker? How I can get a better deal on what I'm trying to buy? What am I doing? I've got to represent Jesus, and my motivation test will be revealed through this. See, even with how we're responding to parents and siblings, there comes a season in your life when you're 18 to 25, and I don't know what that time is. You can talk to your parents. But there comes a season where you've got to answer the call of God for your life. And sometimes it will not be what mom or dad thought you were supposed to be doing. Wait, what are you doing? What are you doing? You know what? This is what I prayed about and believed God for. And there are young people who don't have a mom or dad that are in church or listening to the things of God, but that young person is. How do you respond when mom and dad's all over you saying, this is not right? You shouldn't do this. You shouldn't do this. What are you thinking? There's a time where you've got to pursue God and your motivation is him, not a parent. Now, young people, hear me. That's not at 16. The advantages of proper motivation is God gets glorified through your actions when you're motivated correctly. God's purposes are fulfilled through you. People are blessed by your actions. Your heart and spirit are pure and untainted. Your blessed future is seen and God is assured. See, God wants you to be motivated by a desire that comes from a pure heart. And he's got to be the center of that. I've got to be motivated. You've got to be motivated by the desire to be obedient, regardless of the cost to you. You've got to have a motivation to be a servant, regardless of, well, this is what I was thinking about doing. You got to back up and say, whoa, this is what we're going to do. A desire to glorify God. Let me just talk about John and what he said right there in what we read at the beginning. John was glad just to hear the voice of Jesus. John was glad. He spent his life pointing others to Christ. Regardless of the cost to him, that's all he thought about. John was willing to lose so that Christ could gain. Oh, John, they're sending other people over here. That don't bother me at all. That's Jesus. May he be glorified. John died alone under the mistreatment of jealousy. John is called, John, talking about John the Baptist at the beginning, but John the disciple had similar mindsets. He always put himself to the side and put Christ first. And John died alone under mistreatment, under jealousy. And he was the one that Jesus loved. John the Baptist and John the disciple, both are a great example of saying, it's not about me. And that's my message tonight. If you pass the motivation test, then you've become less and less so that he can become more and more.
We hope that you've been blessed, encouraged, and motivated by today's message. For more messages or information about Christian Ministries Church, go to www.cmchurch.net.